I would like for you to get your Bibles, and I want you to turn to the very last book, the book of Revelation, and I would like for you to turn to chapter 20 in the book of Revelation. I want to share a message that the Lord placed upon my heart for a little while, and it would be my prayer that every one of us, young and old alike, would give heed to what the scripture says in that portion. Well, I want to speak with you a message entitled Avoiding the Second Death. Avoiding the Second Death. I want us to read the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, and then we'll skip over as we see this descriptive place called the Second Death. It says in chapter 20, verse 1, so the Apostle John, the Revelator, and he said this, "And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven," this is the modern English version, "having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He seized the dragon, the ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him, that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a little while. I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and the authority to judge was given to them, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness of Jesus and for the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image, or had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hand. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who takes part in the first resurrection. Over these the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Skip over to verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. From his face the earth and the heavens fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to their works, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades, or hell, delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one by his works. Then death and Hades, or hell, was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Skip over to chapter 21 and verse 8, and we'll stop with that one. It says, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their portion in the lake, which burns with fire and brimstone. This is the second death." Avoiding the second death. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help me to bring to this your people the truth of your word. We are living, Lord, in perilous times, and the time is very short. And I pray that you would use this word to stir us to the realization that we must be busy about the things of the Lord, that we must have our eyes fixed upon the eastern sky, so to say, for your return draws near. I pray that you'd put a soberness within our hearts, a seriousness about the things of the Lord. And I pray that most of all, you would help us to understand the truth of Scripture. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, enlighten the minds and the hearts, I do pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. We are living, I believe, in the very last of the last days. I'm not saying that time will not progress and that there's not time ahead of us, but I do know the time is drawing near. It is getting close. It doesn't take much for us to see the wickedness that is creeping into our world all around us. Even the very United States of America, that it was always known as a nation under God, is beginning to show the signs of a nation that is dwindling downward into the cesspools of wickedness, immorality, and judgment. The world around us is getting darker, and we, as the children of the living God, should be getting brighter. Amen. We are living in the latter days, and sometimes we can get caught up within the cares of life. We get caught up within our schedules, within our work schedules, and the busyness of life, that sometimes we can get so caught up within these things that it can begin to take our eyes, which should be focused upon the Lord, away and begin to focus on the cares of life. That we begin to allow our spiritual lives to begin to grow cold, to begin to harden, to begin to not think about the things of the Lord like maybe we used to. And it's tempting. I mean, the scripture has declared it in Matthew 24 and all of the other places, be it Luke 21, Mark 13, or other places, that there will be the temptation in the latter days to want to think that the coming of the Lord, well, where is it? Why does it seem like everyone seems to talk about it? Doesn't seem to happen. And so because the Lord delays His coming, we begin to want to grow lax. We want to begin to grow undisciplined in our lives, so we're not seeking the Lord like we should. But we must not forget that Jesus is coming back, and whether we think about it or not, that does not stop His coming. And Lord willing, the message that I'm sharing with you today will be one that brings a renewed soberness within our hearts. For what I will be declaring to you today is something that sometimes I don't think we really take too much consideration about. You see, it's easy to preach sermons that will tickle our ears and make us happy. We can preach those sermons that are going to just help us to want to live better, so to say. Sometimes it can be about things that really don't have anything to do with the gospel, but it's just a good message. But I'm here to preach the word of the living God. And there is something that is known as the second death. The second death. And we may begin to wonder, well, what is that, Pastor? What is the second death? What does that mean? I thought that when an individual was born, they lived and they died and that was it. But you're now saying that there's a second death. What is that? And that is what I want to declare to you today. For there is a way to avoid the second death. Jesus has made a way for you and me to never even have the chance of getting there. For Jesus said clearly that He came to give life, and life in abundance, not death. In the book of Revelation, we find these statements about the second death. You will not find it anywhere else in the scripture. Only in the book of Revelation will you find reference to the second death. But there is the potential. I want you to turn there real fast in Revelation chapter 2 to see with your own two eyes that we can avoid the second death. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11, as the Lord is talking to one of the churches, He's talking to the church of Smyrna specifically. But in the last verse, the last part of the message to this church, verse 11, He says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by," what does it say there? "By the second death." And so that tells you and me that there is the possibility of avoiding the second death. And so what is it, Pastor? Well, let me explain it to you. In this life, we will live, and we will live our lives to such an extent that hopefully most of us, if not all of us, will die of an old, ripe age, having lived our lives to the fullest. Amen. Lord willing, the Lord will have blessed our lives, that we will live our lives and leave a legacy for our children. We will walk with the Lord until we die of old age. But some of us will not have that experience. Life can be very short. We've already discussed this, but the scripture says that life is like a vapor. It is so fast that we don't even know when it will end. Some will die young, some will die old. But death is one of the realities that every one of us will face. The only ones that will potentially escape death will be those in that generation of the church when the rapture does occur. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 describes that event. And it says, those that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That is the rapture of the church, the catching away. And only those will not taste death, but will be instantly changed. But everyone that dies, whether they have died in our own lives or from history until now, until the time that time will end, every human being, except for those that will experience the rapture, will die a natural death. Every individual, if they're saved and even if they're unsaved, all will die. And that is just one of the realities. There is no one that can escape death. But thankfully that in Christ there is the potential for us to live again. There is the reality of the child of God who, though they die a physical death, will one day come out of that grave and be instantly changed and receive a brand new body to live forever and forever. And I'm here to tell you that those that are born again, that are saved, washed in the blood of Jesus, they will die once, but they will never die again. And the only way to escape the second death is to be born again in Jesus now. I want you to turn to some familiar portions of Scripture, but I want you to see what Jesus was saying here. Turn in the Gospel of John to John chapter 8. The Gospel of John chapter 8. And I want you to see something here that Jesus says. You see, sometimes it would seem like, you know, some people say, well, if a person dies, they'll stand before Peter and Peter will be at the gate and he will say, "What? How am I going to let you into heaven?" And they make this story like, well, I've done a lot of good, so Peter's going to open that heavenly gate and let anybody in because they did good things and lived a good life. But I'm here to tell you, all the good is not going to get anyone in there. I'm here to tell you how to get into that heavenly kingdom. Amen? But in John chapter 8, I want you to see something here. John chapter 8, verse 21 through 24. This is Jesus speaking to the Jews around him, the religious people. And he's saying to them, "I'm going away," he's telling them. "And you will seek me and you will die in your sins. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself? For he said, 'Where I am going, you cannot come.'" And he said to them, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." Look at verse 24. "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." What an amazing verse this is. There is only one way to get our sins removed. There is only one way to get our sins eradicated, washed away, blotted out, cast away into God's sea of forgetfulness. Only one way. And Jesus says it very clearly, and I want you to hear me. Only one way for our sins to be removed. And Jesus said it there in verse 24, "For unless you believe that I am he," that he is the Savior, that he is the one that can take away our sins, "you will die in your sins." Now let me bring out a simple fact. Can sin dwell in the presence of a holy God? No. So therefore, if a person dies in their sin, will they be able to be in God's heavenly kingdom? No. And what Jesus is expressing here is there's only one way for man to have his sin removed, and that is through believing in what Jesus came to do and accepting that free gift of salvation. Amen? I want you to turn to John chapter 3. Just look at these. These are very familiar portions of Scripture. We all know John chapter 3, don't we? John chapter 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But look at chapter 3 and verse 36. I want you to pay attention to this verse. It says this, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Wow. Shall die in your sins. The wrath of God abides on him. And that's to tell you this. All living individuals, before they die a physical death, is left with a choice. And it's the choice of what they will do with Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? Every individual, our children, have that same choice. Our children aren't going to go into heaven just because we are saved. It's our responsibility as parents to teach our children the truth that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And we must instill in our own children the reality, look, life is not going to last forever. Life isn't going to always continue as it is. I mean, I know in our own flesh, in our own humanity, we would want things to continue as they are. Who likes change? But this is going to come to an end, and we must be ready for it. And if we don't teach our children, the world will get them, blind them, and destroy them. Amen. Now thank God for our church. Thank God for our children's church. Amen? Thank God for ministry to children and to youth and the young adults. Thank God for all of that. But we as parents must never neglect our responsibility either. Amen? It's our responsibility to instill this in our children. Jesus said that the wrath of God abides on that individual that does not believe. What does that mean? Now let me get to the second death. Every person will die, and that will be the first death. Those that are saved, once they die, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The believer in Christ, their body will remain in the grave, but their spirit will be with God in life. They will be with the Lord forever. And one day, although being with the Lord in heaven, present with Him, there will come the time when that body will come out of that grave and they will be clothed with that same body but changed. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians. It says, this corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. That's the divine exchange. This body that dies will be changed to a body that will live forever. Amen. Now we're talking to the Christian here. Your body is going to be a resurrected body. It's going to be a body just like Jesus had. When Jesus resurrected from the dead, He would appear in rooms and disappear out of rooms. Remember that? That's the kind of body that you will have, and it will live forever. It's a resurrected body. But what about those who have died in their sins? I thought they died and went into the grave. Well, yes, just like the Christians do. But there is coming a time that the Scripture has declared in Revelation chapter 20. After the tribulation period, that an angel will come down and get Satan himself and chain him with a chain and throw him into the bottomless pit and keep him in there for 1,000 years. Now, one thing I want you to think about is that the devil is not all-powerful. Have you ever thought about that? He would like to fool us into thinking he can read minds, but he can't. He would like us to think that he's the most powerful thing that there is, but he isn't. Only God is omnipotent, all-powerful. Amen. Now, he's powerful. I'm not going to deny that. But he isn't God. And there's going to be an angel that's going to capture him and chain him up with a chain. Does that mean the devil is all-powerful or weak somewhere? Does it mean there's someone or something stronger? Yes. So he'll be chained for 1,000 years. And the Bible says those that were in the tribulation period that didn't bow the knee to the Antichrist, those that didn't receive the image of his name, his mark, all of that stuff will come back to life. And they will rule and reign with Christ here on the earth for 1,000 years. But then the scripture says the rest of the dead stayed there till a point in time. Now, let's follow me here. After the tribulation period, Christ, when he comes here to the earth and every eye will see him, he is going to establish his millennial kingdom here on the earth. He is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. There will be no devil tempting anybody. Can you imagine that? The devil will be in a chain. He will be in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Sin is not around, and yet people will be marrying and giving in marriage and all that kind of stuff during that season. But after 1,000 years, the devil will be let loose again. And those whose hearts are not the Lord's, who will not serve the Lord in such a place of perfection, will follow the enemy at that time. And then judgment will be swift, and then will come the time of the second death. What is it? After the millennial reign of Christ, that means the 1,000-year rule and reign of Christ here on the earth, there will be another resurrection. The Bible describes two resurrections. One is called a resurrection of damnation. The other one is called a resurrection of life. I want you to see it. Jesus talked about it in the Gospel of John. Look at Gospel of John chapter 5 real fast. John chapter 5, verse 25, and it says, well, let's look at verse 28 and 29. It says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out." Come out of where? Well, out of the graves. "Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment," or damnation, or depending what version you have. Some have called it the resurrection of death. The scripture makes a declaration here. You see, the saved, you will die, but you will come out of your grave and enter into life. Amen? The saved, those that have received Jesus, those whose sins have been removed, who are not in their sins, whose the wrath of God is not upon, because Jesus bore the wrath of God for them. You all following me okay? But there are those who the wrath of God abides upon and who are still in their sin. And even though they are dead, now listen to me. When an individual dies in Christ now, they are with Christ in heaven. Amen. But that individual who died without Christ is burning in hell. They are in hell right now. And who wants to think of that? To think of people burning and dying and in writhing in pain. And yet the scripture declares such a place. When that sinner dies without Christ, they go to hell. But there is coming a day after the millennial reign of Christ, after the enemy has been released and has deceived the nations again, the scripture declares that there will be a second death. So why is it called a second death? It's called a second death because even those that have died and have been without Christ and have been burning in hell will come out of their grave again. And they will stand before God at the great white throne. That judgment is known as the Great White Throne Judgment. Look at verse 11 again of Revelation chapter 20. It says, "Then I saw a great white throne." Well, let's read verses 7 through 10 as well, because I want to see what happens to the devil. So you can even remind the devil what's going to happen to him. You all want to remind the devil of what's coming his way? They say, someone said this, whenever the devil tries to remind you of your past, remind him of his future. You ever heard that? Well, let's look at his future. Verse 7. It says, "When the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be set free from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. They traveled the breadth of the earth, surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire." You all see what's happening to the devil? He's not going to rule and reign and do whatever he can do. He's going to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That shows from the scripture there's no such thing as the annihilation of the soul. There is teaching out there that teaches that if a person lives and they die, they cease to exist. Jehovah's Witnesses will come knocking on your door and say that's what they believe. Just because they say they believe that doesn't mean it's true. The scripture says they will be tormented day and night forever and forever. That means there's no end. Do y'all hear that? The beast, the Antichrist, the false prophet are still there. But then look at verse 11. "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his face the earth and the heavens fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God." It was a judgment. Books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead. You all see the dead there? These are the wicked dead. "The dead were judged according to their works, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it." What does that mean? Well, not everyone is inside 6 feet under in a cemetery. You all understand that? Many people have died at sea. Their bodies disintegrated or went into that ocean or that sea somewhere. You all follow that? It says the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead who were in them. That means those that are burning in hell will come out of hell and stand before God at the great white throne. "And they were judged, each one by his works. Then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Remember 21 verse 8, again it says, "The cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars shall have their portion in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. This is the second death." That is the end of all things. The lake of fire is the place that is after a season in hell for those that are unsaved. They will stand before God at the white throne judgment and then be cast into the lake of fire. And yet I'm here to tell you that there is a way to avoid the second death. Amen? There is a way to avoid the second death. Now remember, it says anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want to ask you a simple question. How does an individual get their name written into the book of life? How is it written in the book of life? I know before I was saved and somebody would have asked me that, I would have said, "I want my name written in the Lamb's book of life. What must I do to get it written in that heavenly roll?" Someone would have talked to me the way I'm talking to you now. When I was a child, I would have said, "Get me written up now." How do we get our names written down in the book of life? Jesus made an interesting statement one day. He had sent out his disciples to preach the gospel two by two. And they were preaching the gospel everywhere, and God was using them. People were getting saved. They were getting healed. Demon-possessed people were being delivered. It was powerful. Miracles were transpiring. And they came back to Jesus all excited. They said, "Lord, All these things have happened. These things are happening through our hands. People have been healed. Things are going on. Lord, it's exciting. And then Jesus turned around to them and he says, don't be so excited that even the devils are subject to you. He says, rather rejoice that your names are written down in heaven. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. And there is only one way to get that name written down. Hinduism doesn't tell you about a book of life. Islam doesn't tell you about a book of life. Only one way to get the name written down, and that is through Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for us on the cross. And if you will receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he will write your name down. And boy, is that a cause for rejoicing. We can rejoice in the Lord. We can say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. For the scripture even makes a declaration that those that take part in the first resurrection don't even have to be afraid of the second death. I want you to see that. Look at this. Verse 6 of chapter 20 again. It says, blessed and holy is he who takes part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. You don't have to be afraid of standing before God at the white throne judgment. Let me tell you why. Jesus bore the wrath of God on your behalf and mine. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he was dying there and judged on the cross as a sinner in your and my place, even though he had no sin. That's why the cross is so significant. He died on the cross for you and me. He took our place. So we don't have to be afraid of being judged anymore because of what Jesus did for us. We are now only accepted in Christ Jesus. He has taken away all judgment from you. You are a child of God. You have been washed in the blood and your name has been written down in that book of life. You don't have to be afraid of standing before God at the white throne judgment and to be cast in the lake of fire. But I will say this. The scripture says whoever's name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast in the lake of fire. That should bring a soberness in our heart about telling others about Jesus. Because there are neighbors, there are friends, there are people in our community that if they will not give ear to the gospel and receive Jesus, they will be thrown in the lake of fire. Mark Bentane was a missionary to India. Back in the 80s, his wife Hulda Bentane, awesome work there in India. If you get a chance to check it out, look it up. He preached a message about that one verse. Whoever's name was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast in the lake of fire. And he said, if there's a verse that should propel us to evangelism, it is that one verse. That individual, without receiving Christ, will be thrown in the lake of fire. What an awful thought. And you and me, we're the ones with the message that can deliver them from such a death. God help us to be able to spread the gospel to those, and God help them to hear. Amen. Avoiding the second death. We don't have to go there. If you've accepted Jesus, this message shouldn't even be anything of a fear to you. Amen? Amen? You're redeemed. You've been purchased with a price. Amen. But if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm here to tell you that today, a day like this, is a time when you open up your heart to the Lord by faith. And He will come and He will take your life and He will write your name down and you will be His forever and forever. Amen. Only one way to avoid it. Only one way. Not many ways, one way. And what will we do with it? Amen? Let's stand.